Tom.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on somewhat a spring day. I understand the next few days we're going to get up to the 80s, so very odd weather. It's great to have you here today, and after the service today, we're going to have a potluck over in McFadden Hall. If you didn't bring any food today, still come on. There's usually enough food when we have a potluck. And also a reminder of the Tuesday meetings up in Dave's office, talking about what's the least I need to know about being a Christian. It's been a great program so far. And let's see if there's anything else important here. Nope, that covers it. And Dave will introduce our guest today.
Okay, thank you, Cliff.
Well, you know, we've been anticipating this this morning for the last 2 months. And it's really a privilege on my part to be able to introduce and for you to get to know someone who's been a dear friend of mine for almost 30 years, Dr. Alfred Johnson. And as you know, Alfred is has been a pastor, a missionary, a missions interpreter for quite a few years, and he's got some wonderful words, sagacious words for us this morning, and I think we're all looking forward to that. At the same time, I would like to introduce his better half, and that's Dr. Abigail Johnson, who is formerly professor and dean and acting president of Hudson County Community College, which is one of our esteemed community colleges in New Jersey. I'd like you to stand up, please, Abigail. Let's give them a Glenshaw Valley welcome. But there is no formality with them, so you can call them Al and Abigail if you'd like. So. And again, a reminder that following the service, there is a ton of food. Believe me, we've ordered 75 pieces of chicken for today, so nobody is going to leave this place hungry this morning. Hope that entices some of you that weren't quite sure whether we were going to feed you correctly this time. Let's begin with let's begin with an opening prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth. And then you sent your blessed Son Jesus to preach peace to those who are afar off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations of this world into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom. And it is through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. The church is the place where the broken gather.
Let us worship God who reconciles us to one another and to God.
The church is the place where sinners are welcome.
Let us worship God who with forgiving hands shapes us into new people.
The church is the place where the lost, the least, the forgotten, and the ignored gather.
Let us worship God who looks at us in the eyes of love.
Our opening hymn, which I believe is familiar to all of us, is number 69, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, otherwise known as Here I Am, Lord. Let us join together for our prayer of confession. As we open our hearts humbly before our God, we know that if we do come humbly and boldly before, that our God is gracious enough to forgive us our sins. Gracious God, we often struggle with what it means to be faithful. Sometimes we surround ourselves with comfortable symbols. We see bread and juice, anointing oil, the cross, and our safe sanctuary. We look for familiar signs in our church that all around us. Our friends sitting near, our favorite hymn being sung. It is very reassuring. Sometimes our church is a mighty fortress closing out the world. Outside these doors, there are others. They are not sure they want to enter. And we confess we are not sure we want them to enter here. Forgive us our narcissism. Forgive us our complacency, praying for you to act when we are here. May we remember Christ has no body but ours. Help us to find that vital and disturbing faith which transforms. Help us not to confuse the symbols of faith with faith itself. May we be Christ's body in the world. Amen. My friends, hear the good news. God forgives again and again and still again. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you forgiven. Praise be to God. Let us affirm our faith as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ our Lord, Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, one final act before we take our seats. Let's take a moment to extend the peace of Christ to our brothers and sisters all around us.
Okay, come on up for the children's room this morning.
When are you done?
Yeah, when we get done, then we'll... How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Boy, oh boy, you look... Oh my goodness, that is quite an outfit you have on. How you doing?
Good.
And how's Sean doing? Is he behaving himself? You're the one who keeps him on the straight and narrow?
Maybe?
Okay, that's... All right. You know, what's exciting to you? What excites you? What things get you really, really pumped up that you can't keep it inside you?
Whenever I'm performing.
You love to perform, don't you? Well, we've had you sing a number of songs here, and I'll tell you, you do a beautiful job, so you get us excited. That makes it doubly exciting for you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know friends that if they had a scratch off, or if they found out that when they checked their lottery numbers, they found out that they are a winner, boy, I'll tell you, they'd be jumping up and down. They'd be picking up that phone, calling up people saying, guess what? I won the lottery. My life is going to be different. It's never going to be the same again. Do you think we'll ever have such luck like that in our lives?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Well, we keep hoping, don't we? You know, but the odds are, you know, winning the power
Powerball is probably a long ways off. The odds are that we probably won't. You know, I know people have been playing Powerball for years and years and years and years and have never even won, get another scratch off for free, you know. But I do have some good news for you that I think you're going to get excited, that I think you're going to jump up and down.
Why?
You ever get a love letter?
No.
No. You get a Valentine's Day card? Nobody ever sent you a Valentine's Day card?
My mom did.
Well, that's okay. That's a Valentine's Day card. And as you get older, with each passing year, you're going to find yourself getting more and more and more from friends, maybe boyfriends, maybe from people you don't even know, that whose lives you touched and you didn't realize it. Well, I want to tell you about a love letter that you did receive and you didn't realize it. Right here. You know what this book is?
A Bible.
What makes you think this is a Bible? Oh, because you read it. Well, you can read, okay. Well, this is more than a Bible. They call this the Good News. In fact, there's such a Bible called the Good News Bible. And there's lots of good news. But you know, when I think of this book, I don't think about it as an old dusty book, you know, that if you flip the pages, dust will come out. I don't think about it with stories and tales from, you know, 2,000 years ago and further back. I think of this as a love letter, because that's what it is. And it tells a story about how God loved you so much that he lived and worked with his people, the Israelites, and then he worked with the people in Jesus' day, and he brought Jesus into their world, into our world, to share his son with the rest of us, to show us and tell us about God's love, but how that love works. The fact that God loves you. God loves me. In fact, God cannot love his only begotten son, Jesus, any more than he loves you. Think of that. You know, we think, well, you know, God really, really loves Jesus because, you know, Jesus was his son, you know, and Jesus was obedient, and Jesus went to the cross. And I mean, only somebody who is really, you know, obedient and loving and all could really just love the Father back in return. Well, the fact is, God can never love Jesus any more than he loves you, which means that God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. He loves you a whole lot. And if you've never gotten a love letter from someone yet, this is your first love letter. Because it's God saying, you know, I love you with all my heart. And no matter where you go in life, no matter what happens to you, you're never going to be alone. Sure, you'll have your parents and brother, and you'll have your brother and sister, and you'll have all your friends with you, and they'll support you. You'll have your church family to support you. But just know that I'm going to be with you too. And I'm not only going to walk beside you and in front of you and behind you, I'm going to be in your heart. So you can never get rid of me. But that's how much I love you. And nothing's ever going to separate you from that love. So, that's good news for us. And if you get that kind of news, you can't help but jump up and down, can you? All right, well, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the way that you do love us. We certainly don't deserve it, but then that's what grace is all about. It's undeserved favor. And our prayers are that every day of our lives you will continue to just hold us close to your heart, tell us how much we need you and how much you, in a sense, need us. And may that excite us so much that we reach out and tell others that good news as well and not be embarrassed or afraid to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
There were a couple accidental omissions from the bulletin today. There is a closing hymn, which will be hymn 730, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God. I'll have it up on the screen, so you don't have to remember that. And also, there will be a benediction. And also, during the offertory, Mickey wants to do something a little different. It's Let There Be Peace on Earth. Yes. So, I'm going to display the words. You don't have to get up and sing, but if you want to sing along, you can.
Good morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
First is a praise request from Lois Lissick. It's for her grandson, David Carney. David was playing basketball in Indianapolis, and a boy fell on his knee, and he can't walk on it. They're thinking it's hyperextended. The second is a prayer request from Tom DeWorken for Francis Skip Gorzak. Pray for sobriety and decisions made in God's wisdom. A prayer request from Tom DeWorken for Barb DeWorken, that she seeks medical care for her knees and legs and that she can sell her horse farm. Also pray for her business partner, Gail. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our guest today. Thank you.
Thank you, EJ.
Thank you very much. Our hymn of meditation is number 372, "O for a World." Seated. Let's begin preparing our hearts as I lead us in the pastoral prayer, and together we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of truth and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for those courageous and faithful women and men who have responded to the call to follow you wherever you would lead. Those who would devote their lives to taking your message of peace and love to the four corners of the earth with the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, and often at great cost to their families. The world is a dangerous place, and serving as your emissaries is often a very dangerous calling, especially to persons who have been strangers to peace for so long. But your children, your mission co-workers, regardless of which denomination they presently serve, are indeed special people. They have endured great sacrifices to carry your word and your love to the four corners of this earth. Sustain, inspire, and enlighten your servants who bring others the gospel, the good news, and in whatever way you have called them, whether through their roles as preachers and teachers, as doctors and health workers, as builders and engineers, whatever way we represent you and alleviate suffering in your name, we thus become your missionaries in the highest and best sense of the word. Bless them with your love. Touch them with your strength that they need to continue in their work. Bless them with encouragement every single day, for their labor is often thankless and forgotten by so many, and the results of their work is not often readily seen. Help them to know that they are glorifying you through their endeavors. And may you continue to renew a missionary zeal, not just in them, but in ourselves and in the rest of your church. Raise up new missionaries who will follow you to the ends of the earth. and not least, help each of us here this morning to become more effective witnesses of your goodness, full of love and strength and faith for your glory and the salvation of the entire world. Help us to overcome our shyness, or perhaps it may be our embarrassment to tell others of what you mean to us, how you have become the most important presence in our lives. If you are truly that important to us, shouldn't we be eager to share with our families and our friends and our co-workers, with those we meet who are lost and lonely and hungering, of what it is we have found and what you have promised for others? We hold before you this morning especially our friends and loved ones who face particular dangers or difficulties, those who bear unusually heavy loads this day. There are those in hospitals, those recovering from operations or illness at home, those who travel. There are those facing difficult decisions, and those beginning new jobs, those with domestic problems, those with declining physical powers or increasing mental confusion, those trying to overcome addictions of one kind or another, those dealing with a lack of faith, those suffering from hunger or homelessness, those who are tired and overextended, and those who are simply confused and cannot find their way in life. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, he who taught his own disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward and receive this morning's offering. Shared with the choir before we came out here that Rose's former church that she was a member of before she met me, every service they would end by everyone gathering around in a big circle around the sanctuary and they would end up singing this song week after week after week, and it was always reminding everyone that we live and strive for peace in this world, but it always has to begin with ourselves first. Let's stand for our Gloria Patri.
Doxology. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you who are the gift who never stops giving, this morning we ask that you will receive these tithes and gifts and offerings as an expression of our own love and appreciation and gratitude for all that you so fill our lives with, for all that you have given us and all that you have made of us. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We have two scripture readings this morning, both of them from the New Testament.
What?
Oh, you're the... Come on up here. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we had scripture reading this morning. You get up here.
Do I get to read from your Bible?
No.
Is it right bigger?
No. Mine's in Greek.
Yeah.
No, it looks like it's in English to me. Man. There's too many notes in the margins I'd never be able to read, probably. See if I got all this. Matthew 28:16-20. There we go. Well, there's lots of light up here. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." And now from Acts, chapter 1, 3 through 15. "To them he presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth.' And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is God's word.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for welcoming me to be your preacher for this morning. I want to thank in particular my hosts, Mr. and Mrs. Dr. and Mrs. Wood, and for the hospitality. And not only for the hospitality, but for the friendship which we have had over these quite a few years, all the way back from when Dave, you'll forgive me if I say Pastor Dave or Dave, when he was in the Presbytery of New York, maybe from around 1960. And in fact, I've had quite a few good relationship with him, even before he met Rose, his Rose. Rose, I met David before you, okay? So I hope you...
That was my first love, but you stole my heart away.
before he met his Rose, and I also have a Rose, but her name is Abigail. So I want to welcome my Rose, Abigail. That is what made me King Alfred. If you go back to the British, my name is King Alfred, and she's Queen Abigail. So we have been friends for, and we want to thank Abigail. Well, she was introduced, and she stood up before when she was introduced. So I don't have to introduce her anymore this morning. Oh, and by the way, you'll have to forgive me for sitting down. I have taken on the role of, I'm sure you may know this gentleman, Charles Stanley. He's a popular preacher in Atlanta. In fact, he sits down and preach because he's quite a few years old. And I also, if you know the story of the Bible, Jesus sat down. So I'm following the role of Jesus, and even when he was giving out communion, it says that he wasn't standing up giving communion. So I don't know. I hope that this is not going to what Pastor Dave is going to do in the future. But Jesus, when he sat down at the table, so I am sitting down at the table this morning, so I am in good company. That's why I am sitting down and not standing. Before I close, should I say also that I want to thank you for this opportunity of me sitting down. And you know why I'm sitting down? Because I don't know if I should have said this one, but where is it? These days, through Cain, I'm able to get around. You know Cain and Abel? Through Cain, I'm able. I'm not going to use a cane to spank you. But anyway, through Cain, I'm able. But also, let me tell you this. It's not one day at a time. It's one step at a time. And I'm taking, although I take one step at a time, it takes me one day to take one step at a time. That's why I got up here and started before you got here. I came to the pulpit so that I wouldn't take a whole day to take my get up here. Anyway, this morning, I hope you are understanding my accent.
We have an interpreter if you need one.
I hope you understand my accent, my Jamaican accent. I'm from the land of the fastest man on earth, Jamaica, Usain Bolt. So that's why my accent, but I hope my speech does not betray me as a Jamaican, not as a, well, you remember what they said to Peter, your speech betrayeth you. So don't forgive that speech. So are you understanding me? Does my speech, do you understand? Are you? Okay, getting it clear and coming through. Anyway, today is a very interesting day. I don't know if I should really speak about my personal reflection or life experiences, or I should give you a biblical interpretation of the passage which was just read this morning. It is really, as you may know, on the church calendar, and you know that Ascension Day, which is 10 days away from us. Every year, we have some, the calendar tells you of some very important days. I won't worry to mention the calendar recalls civic history and public holidays, MLK, should I say Memorial Day, which is way ahead of us. Well, this month, or even Independence Day, the calendar recalls. But our church calendar, any of you may know, I'm sure, the church calendar, the Presbyterian church calendar, it recalls some very, very important religious events. Christmas, the 25th of December. It also recalls Easter, a general which includes most calendars, whether civic or whether religious, but one which is cut both sides, is New Year's. And interestingly, I don't know if you know what is happening in the world today, especially here in America, about the other very interesting calendar day. Chinese New Year, Hanukkah, Passover, even the Muslims have what is known as Ramadan. These are important holidays, but not church holidays. But the Presbyterian Church tells us about Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. And you know that Pentecost Sunday is 10 days away. But going back to the New Year's Day, you know, there is a debate going around the country today that there is a question of the Chinese New Year, just as how the Christians are celebrating the New Year's. Should the Chinese holiday become a New Year also holiday? But we are not going to go into that this morning. We are going to look at our passage for today, which, as I said, is a passage on Ascension Sunday, Ascension Day. And Ascension Day, if you may have your calendar, it's in the Presbyterian calendar, it's 10 days from today, the 10th of May. Yeah, and it was that day, it took place on the Mount of Olives. If you were just reading the passage just now, you will see in the text where it was there mentioned, it took place on Mount Olives. It was a mountaintop experience geographically for the people of God. When Jesus said to them, when he gave them the sense, the word, "You shall be my witnesses." It was a mountaintop experience there on Mount Olives. And it is my prayer that for the church, it was not just a mountaintop experience geographically, but it was a mountaintop experience for the people of God. I hope this will be a mountaintop experience for you this morning. Jesus said what? Jesus appeared and he came back to them. And if you look carefully at that text, in verse 6, they said to Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" And Jesus turned it around and he said, "It's not me, it's you." Verse 8, you heard what the text said. Jesus said what? "You shall be my witnesses." They said to Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" And Jesus said what? "It's not me, it's you." In other words, this morning, he was saying to them, the future of in the church, of the church, is not in my hands. Yes, it may be in God's hands. Yes, we pray to God, will you at this time restore the kingdom? But Jesus said to them, what? Not me, but you. I don't know how many of you are here this morning. And Jesus is saying to us here this morning, you look at it. I'm sure you have quoted that passage very often. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Read it. Verse 6 said, will you at this time? Jesus, he had come back to them. And Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. In other words, you know what he was saying to them or to us? The future of the church is in whose hands? In your hands. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Do you understand this? We think that it is, oh, leave it up to God. God in his old time will do this. And Jesus turned around and said, you look at it, verses 6 and verse 8. I don't know if he's playing on the word you. It was from singular, but it was to plural. Will you at this time restore? You see the cross here, and it's very often you see Jesus. But Jesus turned it around and said, and I am saying to you this morning, my friends, we have got to understand the future of the church is in whose hands? In my hands. He said it to the 11 disciples there on the Mount of Olives. And there were 11 disciples there. But in verse 15, which I don't know if we read verse 15, but it moved from 11 disciples to 15 to 120. 120 disciples. On that day of Pentecost, there were 11 disciples. But then the passage which we read, I don't know if it was read to verse 15. Verse 15 says there were 120 disciples, people gathered there when they were having the casting of lots to replace, Judas, who had betrayed, and so forth. There was immediately, and I want to say, please forgive me, praise the Lord. There were only 11 disciples there on the day of Pentecost. But in verse 15, there were 120 there. Somehow they began to spread the word. They began to spread the word. Look at the difference between verse 6. It began to name them. And they named them, and he mentioned James, the son of his brother. His brother became there. Not only his brother, but some of the women. So they moved from, in verse 6, the 11 disciples to 120. Within a brief space of time, there was an explosion. I'm not talking about a bomb explosion. I'm talking about these 11 disciples. There were no 120. Immediately they began to spread the word and tell the people that Jesus is alive. And they went back around and started to tell the folks that Jesus had started a new movement. A new movement. Within one couple days from Ascension Day, when there were only 11, there began an explosion and the beginning of a new movement. They began to spread the word. They began to spread the word that Jesus is alive. My friend, looking back this morning, we want to understand that we have got to be here to explode, to share the word. those 11 disciples have made a tremendous impact, and they began to make an impression on the community. And Jesus said to them, "Go you into all the world and make disciples." All the world, not just here in Jerusalem, but throughout all the world. And this began their mission. This was the purpose for which they were chosen, and they began to spread the word. The church, when Jesus said to them, Jesus gave them this commission. This Jesus gave them this mission. The church exists for mission. The church exists. Go you. You have all said that word, and we have repeated it over and over. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. The church, this was, in fact, whether you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, or you look at Matthew chapter 28, go you into all the world. This was the last word to Jesus. The last word of Jesus to his disciples. Go. Please. I would ask you to, what was the last word of Jesus? I'm sure you all know it. This was the mission that Jesus gave to the church. People always think about what was the last word that a dying man said on the cross, or the last man when he was, if a friend is passing away or someone is leaving us, what was their last words? And the last words of Jesus, yes, on the cross he might have said, my mission is completed. But when he came back and alive, and his last word before he ascended was, go ye into all the world. And we have got to remember that. We worship Jesus. We bow down before him. But on his ascension day, and we recall, what was the last word that grandma said, or uncle said, or your father said? And the last word that Jesus said on his ascension, go you into all the world. Are we taking these words seriously about what Jesus said to us? Yes, he said on the cross, mission accomplished. But it's an ascension day. When he left us, he said, go you into all the world. The church exists for mission. Maybe this could be your text this morning. The church exists for mission. And another text, another way you could identify these words is home and foreign missions. Because when Jesus said, go you into all the world, he spells it out very clearly. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the world. It's home and foreign mission. And interestingly, talking about home and foreign mission, even remember, if when we have to start at home, you dance before you what? Nobody has ever said that you dance before you dance abroad. Isn't that a common statement, or is that a Jamaican statement or a community statement? You have to dance before you dance abroad. So you have to begin at home. And where is your home? Is it Glenshaw? You have a responsibility. First of all, you have to dance at home. Is Glenshaw your Judea or your Jerusalem? Each one can make a difference here, and we have to begin here at home. Jesus, when he arose, he said to the angel said, go tell Peter that he's alive. There in John's Gospel, chapter 20, the resurrection chapter, he was telling Mary to go tell the disciples and Peter that I have risen. He spelled out a name. Maybe you have a Peter. In fact, the brother Thomas, Didymus, when the disciples came together and Didymus was not there, but the following Sunday, Didymus came and he had to, unless I see Jesus, they had to tell Thomas, they had to tell Didymus, and they started the one person who was absent from the group, the other 10 disciples, they said, "We have seen the Lord." And they went out and they told Didymus. And fortunately, Didymus, the following week, he was able to see for himself. So when we leave here this morning, we have got this. Oh, you missed. I don't know if it was a great sermon, but you missed Jesus. Tell them about what you missed last week Sunday. You have to begin. Just as I go tell Mary was able to tell, we have seen Jesus is alive. We all have to have, we have to begin at our Jerusalem. We have to begin with our neighbors. We have to begin somewhere. And where is that somewhere? Glenshaw. The community here in Oakman, our brother David, I think he lives in, what's your community? Oakman. I hope David realizes that this is going to be his Jerusalem. We have got to begin in, go tell Peter. We have got to tell our friends what you missed. And then we have to go regionally. There was a man by the name of Philip. He went regionally. He did it Samaria. And he had an important role to play because he was there. Initially he was a deacon, but then he also moved on to telling the people in Samaria. He went on to Ethiopian, you remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And he went, Philip started, yes, as a deacon. What an interesting role as a deacon, helping in a soup kitchen. And then he moved on to spreading the gospel to Samaria. And he had 7 daughters who prophesied. I don't know if it's the same. He began in his family. His daughters became prophet. He not only worked in the soup kitchen, he worked with his family. And then he ended up was the one interpreting and helped out and brought the man from Samaria. You shall be my disciples, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and on Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. This is what Jesus said to the disciples, and they went and they began the explosion. Mission begins, yes, and then we have got to grow globally. Today we have a challenge before us, and this is what God is calling us to do. Well, when Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses," he empowered them. He gave them the power. He poured out the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Go you into all." And that word "all" is very interesting. It's not only the question of geography, but all becomes all-inclusive. You remember the story, the passage in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus said, unless you have visited the sick, when did I see you sick and in prison and visited you? When did I see you hungry and fed you? Brothers and sisters, the word all means we are supposed to be all-inclusive. It is also telling and helping us to understand that the work of the Lord, it is very interesting, the word all. It can be pastoral, it can be didactic, it can be charismatic. All means all inclusive. We are not only teachers, some of us are ruling elders and teaching elders, but it must be all. God is asking us, whether it is visiting the sick, the poor, the needy. When did I see you? Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So ministry is very, very all-inclusive. And I pray that we are involved in an all-inclusive ministry here in our Glenshaw. Go you, yes. Ministry begins at home, but it is also inclusive. And so God gives us the power, God gives us the purpose. Go you into all, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And it must be an evangelical. The reason must be to save others, to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. He gives us a purpose. He gives us, he spells it out, the places, and he pours out the power, the Holy Spirit upon us. Go you into all. And today we have quite a challenge. In fact, Jesus himself reminded us, somewhere in, I think it's Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus went through all the towns, he went through all the towns, places, and he said, and he was healing the blind man. He was not only healing the blind man, but he was also helping out others. And he said these words, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." I don't have to tell you that. The harvest today is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There is an abundance of wickedness, both locally and universally. There is an abundance of wickedness. You don't have to look around what is happening in our world today. You don't have to, whether it is, I don't know if it is Channel 4 or whether what channel you have down here in Pennsylvania. But I'm sure you know CNN and you see what is happening. The abundance of wickedness. The absence of workers. You know what is happening today in terms of the absence of workers. There are no longer the amount of students in theological seminaries. How many churches are in this presbytery, and how many your pastor has to be an interim pastor? How many churches? I'm sure he has been told by the executive presbyter that David, when you retire, we have enough empty pulpits for you to preach, because students are not answering the call. The harvest truly is plenteous. There is an abundance of wickedness. But what? The laborers are few. But Jesus also says there is not only answered the question, the abundance of wickedness. Jesus gives the answer. Pray that the Lord will send forth more laborers into the harvest. We have got to pray. Pray, pray, pray that the Lord will send. Pray for the students, that God will speak to young men and women, yes. Our theological seminaries are becoming, they're lowering in numbers. Pastors are fewer in numbers. So we have got to pray. Thanks, Brother David, for our prayer this morning. Have you ever prayed for, in fact, maybe you don't know, how many missionaries? Do we know about missionaries on the mission field this morning? Have we prayed for the mission field this morning? We have entertained in our home maybe around 3 years ago. Do you know the missionary in the Congo? Where do you know a personal missionary? Do you pray for our missionaries? Pray for Jeff Boyd. That's a name who is right now in the Congo. The missionary from the Presbyterian Mission Agency. I had the privilege of playing host to a lady by the name of Mama Christine Bukumwana. She met me when I was in the Congo, and she's now in Belgium, but she, in fact, we'll talk more about her later. Do we have Jesus' answer? Abundance of wickedness, absence of workers. And then he asks us, the answer is pray. Pray, not only pray, but he says, pray that the Lord will send. How do we send? How do we send this morning, my friends? You cannot go, but you can help pay the cost. If we cannot pray, yes, we can pray, and we may not be able to go, but we may be able to pay to send someone. And one day, just as we sang at the first verse, here I am, Lord, we can go. Maybe you cannot go to overseas, to the Congo. You cannot go to, so many places. But I always carry Congo on my heart, having worshipped stayed in the Congo for 3 years. But we can pray. But one of these days, we can pay. And we can also, as we said, help us help find new missionaries. Do we know what is happening in the Congo? In fact, let me not speak about the Congo before I go. I started in Jamaica. Jamaica was my Judea. Jamaica was my Judea. I was involved in ministry. In Jamaica, I was involved with the Christian education. Do we have workers in our area? The future of the Glenshaw is dependent upon us. The future, I started in my Judea, in my Jerusalem. I was involved with Vacation Bible School. If we ask that we have a Vacation Bible School in Glenshaw, who is going to begin to help in the Vacation Bible School at the Presbyterian Church in Glenshaw? Where is our Jerusalem? Where is our Jerusalem? How can we? Yes, we have to dance at home before we dance abroad, but we have to start. What is going to happen for the future of the church here at Glenshaw? Who is coming up to carry on? In the summer, don't we? Do we have, by any chance, we know of the summer camp? Where is our summer camp? Do we have volunteers to help in the summer camp? Here in America, what is going to happen to the future of the church? Do we know what is the statistics is telling us? Because of the more missionary zeal of people with other faith, do we know one day that the Christians will be, yes, today there are more Christians in America than other religions, but do we know that what is going to happen to the future of the Christians here? We have got to start our Judea in our community, and then one day we will once more restore the glory. They have taken religion out of schools today. Easter, the only thing you may hear about Easter is nor'easter. You don't hear about geographically the weather, but Easter is not on our calendar any longer. So we have got to make sure. We are silent when it comes to, we cannot speak to someone about, we have to be very diplomatic about speaking to someone else about religion. And we never share it with them. And so that is why we have to be careful. We have got to start here at home. We have got to spread the news. Jesus is alive. Jesus is coming again. Yes, I started in my Jerusalem, in Jamaica. And 50 years ago, yes, 50 years ago, it was in 1968 that I arrived in the Congo, 50 years ago, almost to the year, to the month. Go into all the world, from Jamaica to the Congo, from Jerusalem unto the uttermost part of the world. And so this morning, before I conclude, yes, we have got to go globally, universally, globally. And this is a challenge, and this is a word that I would leave with you this morning. On this Ascension Day, on the 10th day, within 10 days, we are remembering the Ascension Day, the Mount of Ascension. God promises to be with us eternally. Lo, I will be with you always, individually. Yes, God calls us to action. He's asking us, will we go in our Judea, in Glenshaw, the future of the church here? We're going to dance at home, but we are going to go into all the world. You can be Christ's ambassador to the global village. Here I am, Lord, we started with this morning. I will go, Lord, if you need me. I'll hold your people in my heart. And a very interesting song says, I'm gonna live so God can use me. The only other gospel that people will know is your life. I'm gonna live so God can use me. Anywhere what? Anywhere, Lord. Anytime. I'm gonna live. Go home. Go home. Glenshaw can be your mission field. Glenshaw can be my mission field. My Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. May God bless you, that this may be your mountaintop experience as you commit yourself to go. Did I say unto the uttermost part? But go to Glenshaw and see what I can do to make sure the future responsibility is in your hands as to the future of this church. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for challenging us this morning, our minds, our hearts, our spirits. Amen to that. Our closing hymn is number 730. I sing a song of the saints of God. Number 730.
Shepherdess on the green, they were all of them saints of God, and I mean God helping to be one too. They loved their Lord so dear, God's love made them strong, and they followed the right for the Jesus' sake for the whole of their good lives long. And one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was slain by a fierce wild beast, and there's not any reason, not let the least, why I shouldn't be one too. They live not only in ages past, hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous saints who love to do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school or in lanes or at sea, in church or in trains or in shops or at sea, for the saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. Amen.
Alfred, would you bless us by giving us the benediction this morning?
Go forth into the world. We have good courage, do render to no man evil for evil. Love thy neighbor as yourself. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.